I almost feel like a Catholic priest who has an assistant usually walking with him. But Brother John, thank you very much indeed for your grace and for your goodness in helping me move about whilst I am still somewhat shaky. There are two sections that I would like to just bring into your attention. One is found in Isaiah 51, which is magnificent. Hear me, you who know what is right. You people who have my law in your hearts. For my righteousness will last forever, and my salvation through all generations. The second section is found in 2 Corinthians, or in 1 Corinthians, I should say. And there I read, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making an appeal through us. And we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord. It's interesting that the word ambassador has been used here, and I just wanted to double check that with Webster to see if that is a correct word used in the Bible, although I figured it would be. And this is what it says by Webster. An ambassador is an official of the highest rank who represents his government in another country. So that actually is, that's you and me. We are like that. So, because you are of the highest rank, no doubt about that. You are in the image of God created. So you are a reflection of the living God. That's number one. Secondly, your government is the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in Matthew 28, verse 18, he indicated that authority over all these kingdoms is with me. And the third thing is you are in another country because you happen to be living in the world. This is not your country. I mean, when you come to Holland Christian Home, you come to the discovery that this is not our country. We are temporarily here. We're all sitting in the waiting room until we get to that glorious gathering with all the saints before Christ. You are in line with Jesus Christ. And I think that that is significant. At all times, we line up with Christ as an ambassador of God. You cannot do it without Jesus Christ. You want to keep it like that. And there are two aims, basically. And the two aims are that God, in his righteousness, will get honored. And that's an interesting thing. So God's righteousness is primary, and our righteousness is secondary. Now that's interesting, because basically what I'm saying here now is that that aim for God particularly shows that he looks at us to see if we have followed suit. In the Bible it says, be perfect. Don't try to be perfect, but be perfect as I am perfect. That's found in Matthew 5:48. And so the righteousness of God has to be transmitted to you and to me. That's beautiful. I will never forget my seafaring friend who came from China. Oh, he says, this is so wonderful because I can portray this whole thing, and I can portray it because our language consists of pictures. And if you take two pictures, the one picture replacing me and the other picture replacing a little lamb, and you put that little lamb on top of me, then you have the word righteousness in Chinese. So he said, when God looks down at me, then I'm so happy that he doesn't see me too well. He sees the Lamb in which I have put my faith, who is above me. And I think that's a priceless situation to take note of. So here we are today, and we are trying to just reflect briefly what it means to be an ambassador. I will be very frank with you. It happened just the other day again, even though I am not repeatedly on board of ships. But recently, again, somebody came up to me, and I was dressed decently. I mean, that is to say, normally. I didn't have any uniform on, and this person comes up to me and says, aren't you the priest or something like that? I said, you hit it. I'm something like that. So I have identified myself immediately with the speaker, and the speaker indicated thereby, I don't know the terminology, but nevertheless, you must be somebody who is different in that respect. And then I say, yes, I'm something like that. Well, that's very good, you see, because identification is so important. And on board of the ships, I don't have any difficulties because I wear a clerical shirt, so everybody can see me and knows who I am. And a lot of people call me even priest. And in the beginning, I went having difficulties with that, and I thought, we have to get over that. And then later on, I thought, no, I can't. Just leave the people in their confusion until they come to an acknowledgement of Jesus Christ. They will suddenly realize what is what. On board of one of the ships, they said, your tag that you have is no good. I said, thank you. Why is it not good? It should have a picture in it. They said, okay, put a picture on it. So I went and had a picture taken, and it was put on my tag. Now it said, Reverend Hans Uitenbosch, Chaplain General. Oh, what does that mean? I'm a chaplain to everybody, general, to the dishwasher, to the engineers, to the captain, to whoever else happens to be on board of the ship. I am a general chaplain to you all. That's very good. And so I have identified myself with the people, and I think that that is an important thing. I said, I have a wife on board of the ship for your information. Could I also get a picture for her? And they said, send her down. So my wife went down and had a picture taken. And then they sat there and they said, what do we do now? She didn't put down a title. He is a chaplain general. What is she now? And so they were talking all together. They were all Muslim people. And the one man said, don't worry about it. She is the wife of the priest on board. So let's put a title underneath it ourselves. So they wrote down, Mrs. Trudy Uitenbosch, priestess. So suddenly they came to the realization, aha, she belongs with it. Now fortunately my wife has been wise enough to change that to chaplain. It is an interesting thing that a lot of people have this kind of identification. I don't get too excited about what identification they have, but I am very much sensitive to the fact that the people have a need to express themselves in one way or another. And that's why I'm staying as much on their level as I possibly can. Sometimes they do something else, and they see me and they suddenly say, oh my! I said, I beg your pardon? Oh, yes, sir. I said, yes, indeed. You identified me with the Lord, but the Lord is not in me in that sense. So you should keep your language different. You should say, oh, my reverend, it is you. There was a girl on board of one of the ships, and she was taking the stuff from the stores away late at night. And I came up, and oh, she exclaimed like exactly what I said. I said, why do you exclaim like that? She said, I'm Orthodox. And in our Orthodox church, I see the priest always standing there, functioning in the front and not in the immediate vicinity of us. And I never see them in touch with me. And now here I'm standing on the ship, for crying out loud. I come from Romania. And lo and behold, you are a priest, aren't you? I said, I am a priest. And you are standing in front of me and shaking my hand. So the people have a difficulty with this whole confusion. Okay, but now the second problem is that a lot of people, they have another problem, and that is that they ask strange questions. Not necessarily the seafaring people, but the people who are on the ships as passengers. And you know what the question is? The question is fundamentally this. Do you have any doubts? And I thought, why do you ask me if I have any doubts? Yeah, well, about God and about Christ and about the church and about Christianity and the whole thing. Don't you ever have a feeling that by now I'm old enough to say I can throw the whole thing overboard? Because a lot of people who I know, they said, they do that. They dump it overboard. And then I say, well, I have two answers for you. Number one, and it is the one answer comes out of the Bible. And that is that the living God says to me, in me is alone your hope, and in no one else. So keep it in mind that you stay in touch with me through Jesus Christ our Lord. I have made him the one who is the bridge between you and me. And so, therefore, see to it that you hold me high. So I say you have to be careful with that all the time. And about overboard, I always encourage these people who are having these confusing statements. And I say, there is a rule on board of ships, you don't throw anything overboard. Can't do that. That's against the laws. We want to keep the pollution away. And certainly, if I go throw anything overboard, they would say, you're not leading us in this whole thing. So, you have to be, on one hand, in touch with the people who are not Christians and who are trying to seek your answer. I came to the discovery that they're asking me. Why would they ask me if I have any doubts? No. I figured, well, it's a normal and it's a noble thing. I could identify myself as John the Baptist because there was no man who had more doubts than he. And he had seen Jesus. He had baptized Jesus. No, that's an unbelievable thing. So I'm not going to talk about my doubt. But I'm going to be talking about the fact that perhaps my ask questioners are having doubts themselves. And because they have doubts themselves, they want to identify with me and say, are you on our level that you also have doubts and that you are not certain about the whole business of the Christianity and the church and everything? I said, well, now don't you go to church? The church? Thank you very much indeed. It's all a bunch of hypocrites. I said, don't say that hastily because I've been in the church longer than you have been. And I can tell you that there are far more hypocrites than you think. Ah, I see. Oh, so you know. Yeah. I said, but you can always join us. We can always use one more. But the thing is that we must not forget that you have not to fasten your attention on the church. But I have to fasten my attention on the one who is preached in the church. And that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So I'm very happy that some of these people who are so confused about it. I'd like to say that this is a problem. I mean, I just give a little sketch up here. But you know, I come in now into contact with an awful lot of older people. And when you talk with these older people, that's very nice. And we talk about all the things that are significant in their lives, you know, their home, their former home, their children, and their current children. And then they talk about the fact that they have a pain here, and they have a pain there, and they have a pain here. And then we have covered the entire lot of pains. And then they suddenly also say, yeah, I have one son, and he doesn't go to church anymore. Or I have a daughter who is no longer in touch with the living Jesus Christ. And yet they were baptized. And they were our children. And we have been praying for them on a regular and a continued basis. And then I say, well, I can see that that is a perplexing situation for you. Highly perplexing, because a lot of people, they are wrestling with that. And I'll be surprised if I would tell you, and you would be surprised, how many people wrestle with that. With that sort of thing. That in their family, somehow, a number of them are no longer in touch with Christ. And no longer in touch with the church. And that is why we have to speak to them, and we have to, in one way or another, identify ourselves to them as representatives, as ambassadors of God, and see if we can win them in one way or another. And that has been my aim all the time. My wife's aim too. You know, we have been on board of these ships now for 50 years. Can you imagine? It's unbelievable. If you ask me any directions, and I say, I don't know. The only thing I know is water. But the difficulty is that we come into touch with people of every kind and background, and we can preach the gospel. We were put in one of the hotels temporarily because we had to go to some other place that I don't know why and where. It was in Athens, I believe. And there was a gentleman, he was very nice. And I said, my wife, I'm sure, would want to talk to you because she has talked to you on board of the ship. And maybe she'd like to talk to you again. Oh, he said, I'm very happy about that. You shouldn't talk to me because your wife is a lot better than you are. So I was very happy that they sensed, and that is an important thing for you to remember. They don't only look at the person who has a clerical shirt, but they look at the people who are committed Christians. And I think that that is a significant thing. And repeatedly we run into that, that the people are very concerned about it. So that's why I think we have to remember these people, particularly in what? In prayer. So we have to pray for them. So I pray on board, and I pray for each and every person, particularly those who have been drifted out of the church and who have gone away from the church. And I think we have to get them back into the church. And you do that by praying for them, and you can do that in various ways. And it's a good thing that we can do that, because I'd like to submit to you that prayer, and if you particularly if you have public prayer, then you have identified yourself. This morning they said to me, we don't meet in a little hole in the back there. We are going to be to the front of the church in your presence, and that is where we offer prayer to God. And I thought that is magnificent. You are identifying yourself immediately. On board of the ships, where I also always see to it that we do that and that we make it identifiable. And so when we sit at the dining room table, because we have to eat with the passengers, and here we sit at the dining room, 10 people around the dining room table, and then I have a clerical shirt, so I'm terribly, everybody can see who I am. So I try to keep the peace by saying, shall I say the grace for the meal? And then most of the people, they sort of look up at me for a moment, and the kind of look that they have in their face is, well, wouldn't kill us, so why not? And they feel comfortable with that, yeah. Until one day I was sitting there at the table and we had all these people there around about it. Shall I say the grace? And this one man says, I'm Jewish. I said, no problem. Why did I say that? Because I want to identify with him. Everybody who is not with the Christ of our scriptures is in a different territory. So if you say you are Jewish, I have no difficulties with it. I'll say the grace in Hebrew. So I said the grace in Hebrew. So everybody else didn't know what I was saying, but he was stunned by that. And for a week he stayed on that ship, and on a Friday, it was the day before the Sabbath, and he said, you're not saying the grace. I thought maybe he's turned off by now. He says, I'm going to say the grace tonight, but I do it in English because my Hebrew is not as good. So he decided to come up, and he said the grace. And I thought, here he has been touched subtly by the fact that, you know, we've got to identify ourselves with the grace of the Lord. I will never forget that my wife and I, we were traveling in Israel, and there we were there traveling with some Dutch friends, lovely people. There was a little place where you could sit, and another place where other people were sitting. And there were a group of, they were Muslim people, Palestinian people who were sitting there. And we had taken a couple of little sandwiches, you know, not much, not anything to write home about. But anyway, so I said, shall I say the grace? And she said, don't say it so loudly because there are people sitting over there and they might hear you. So that inspired me, eh? So I opened up my voice. I bellowed as loud as I possibly could. And I praised the Lord for food and drink, and every time that he did anything at all. He had thousands of people around about him. And he first said the grace of thanks. And I thought, this is magnificent. The word grace means thank you. So that is magnificent. And so the people come to the realization that you've got to go in that direction. And I think that that is significant for us to remember. You know, wherever you are publicly, how many people have you seen in the restaurant even who say grace when they eat their stuff from Wendy's or McDonald's or Tim Hortons nowadays? Very few, right? I once saw a fellow from Wendy's with his family holding hands with his children in the restaurants, and there he was praying out loud. Woo. I was so impressed that I said to my wife, hold it. I turned around. I went inside and I slapped the guy on his back. He just about choked on the meat. But he heard it. And his children heard it. That we were proud of the fact that he acknowledged the name of God. And on board of the ship you see the same sort of thing. I mean, you have a dining room full with hundreds of people sitting down. And they all, just like Bobo, my dog. Well, I had no dog. But they just eat right away. They don't give an acknowledgement to God. And the important thing is that we always have to identify ourselves so that the people can see, aha, you are one of those. Yes, we are one of those. We belong to Jesus Christ. So here we have then this significant thing, that we have to pray for our poor people who have lost the tone. Now, I'd like to say one more thing, and then we're almost done. First of all, I would like to say, I hope that you will... Thank you very much indeed, Mr. Schuurman, for your prayer, because you included the young people, and you included those who are not 100% in touch with the living God. And I think that's a good thing. We pray for the people who are persecuted, and we pray for an awful lot of other people in the whole wide world, and we pray for the government, and we pray for the police, and so forth. But that we pray also for the people who have drifted out of the orbit of the Christian church. Why have they drifted out? Because they have questions. That's why they are asking me, do you have any doubts? Basically what they are saying to me is, I have so many doubts myself. And are you on my level? Are you also having doubts? Then at least I can shake hands with you. That was the big problem. And I think that that is a thing that we have to continuously keep in mind, that we are visible in the society on a continued basis. So thank you very much indeed for your prayer. It was a good thing. Now the second thing that we have to do is we have to identify ourselves to the people. And we have to identify ourselves with what? With the medication. What kind of medication have you got? The Bible. The Bible. I think that is very significant. We have to continuously somehow get that Bible out. My wife and I, we are reading the Bible in the morning and at night at our home. And we have the tradition that we read the Bible and we read by turn. She reads, then I read. And after we have read, and sometimes we even have a discussion about the subject that is there. And some of the stuff in the Bible, it's rough stuff. We're digging through 2 Kings right now. Try to check that out, man. But do it sitting down. Don't stand up. It's very heavy stuff. And if you see that, then you see that God, in a mysterious way, continuously hammers on one theme. And they did not do what the Lord God had commanded. And I think that that is an indication to the Christian church, you've got to be in line with the commandments of the Lord. And I think that that is so significant that we stay in touch with that and that we remind other people. And that's why when I run into people who can possibly sit down and eat with us, like we had 7 engineers one day from South Africa, and they sat down and we said, but we are going to have the Bible reading at the table, if you don't mind. No, that's fine. So we had 7 Bibles. And we handed out the Bibles to everybody. Every engineer had the Bible. And one fellow almost fainted. He says, now this is unbelievable to me. Are you giving me a Bible here? It's the first time in my life that I have a Bible in my hand. So I figured he wouldn't want to read. But yes, he read too. And he was touched by the fact that we openly said, this is the way it is, and you are part of our party. You belong to us as well. And I think that that is a significant thing that we remind the people of that, that they belong to our party. And that's why I think we have to all the time keep that in mind, and we have to remind the people of the fact that if you stay in touch with the living God who has given us the specific directions. Somebody was saying to me, I have a GPS. I said, well, congratulations. I didn't need one because it's very close by. But I have a GPS right here. The directions for my life. And that's what we need on a regular basis. The directions for... I'll give you an illustration that you know. I went to a cruise ship. That ship, by the way, is the Allure. Now you know the name too. You know how many crew members there were on it? 2,282 members of the staff of 72 different nationalities. Magnificent. So, and there were a group of people standing outside because they couldn't get in yet, because the people who had been exchanged in the different positions, they had to wait until security and the douane and the customs finally welcomed them inside. And then I looked at that group of people. They're lovely people, very nice people. I shook hands with everybody, and I said, well, may God bless you as you go on board of the ship. Thank you, thank you. They were all very happy about that. So then I said, nice to see you. And that one particular person also asked me, was I a priest then? Yes, I said, are you going to be on board? Yes, I'm going to be on board. Well, you can't come to our place, store or casino, for the simple reason that we just don't believe in God. I said, you don't believe in God? No. We don't know. The church and God and Christianity, we have never done anything about it, and we're not going to do anything about it as well. I said, but we'll help you, sir. what you would call us. I said, no, tell me. You would call us, of course. We are heathen. So I pushed forward, and I stuck out my hand. I said, congratulations. Well, why do you say that? I said, because the Bible tells me that the living God is begetting his glory from the heathen. And that's you. Well, now they were impressed by the fact that indeed the heathen were the people who were incorporated in the plan of God. And I think that that is a significant thing to say to the people, you belong to God just as well. So why don't you come down and we'll have a special supper tonight and on board in that expensive restaurant. Now anybody who's asking me for an expensive restaurant always has yes from me. So I said, I'll go with you, be delighted. Yeah, we'll have a couple of other people from the store and so forth. And some of them, they're also heathen. I said, oh, the more heathen, the better. Because Jesus Christ started like that. Eh? What was his first action? John 4. There sits a woman, and he says, have you got something to drink? He was not talking about the Christian religion. He was not talking about anything except a drink. Give me a drink, please. And then it turned out to be that the woman had had 5 husbands and was now running around with a man that wasn't even her husband. And God... Christ Jesus didn't say, now just a minute, we have to send you to the committee or to the consistory because this is a bit of a problem here. He didn't say anything of the kind. He never talked about it. What did he say? Give me a drink. So he stayed on a different level. And then he kept on talking and kept on talking. And finally the woman said, you look like a prophet. Yeah, I'm a prophet. I'm the prophet. And so she finally came to an acknowledgement of Jesus Christ. And I think that's the important thing, that God does it like that. And he says, these people have to be incorporated. And the Bible says continuously, you have to remember those who are not of Christ. That's why I was saying to the young children here, congratulations. You have a whole life that you can give to Christ still. That's beautiful. I'm impressed by the whole thing. And so we are too. So I am very happy about the fact that we can see that. One more thing I had to say, and then we'll have it. And that one thing is this, that I told you about these people where we had, interestingly, when we had dinner with all these people who were heathen, I said, well, where are the answers of the things that you're saying? I said, it's found in the Bible. The Bible. Yeah. Oh, where in the Bible? I said, well, here and there and everywhere. And I gave a couple of passages. And I said, well, you want to have one? I have them. So I went up to my cabin and I said, I'll give one. Take one for me too, please. Yes, okay. Heathen? Yes. One for you too. So I gave Bibles out to everybody. All six of them went away from the dinner table with the Bible and with the directions in the Bible so that I can show them that God is appearing all the way through from the beginning to the end. And I think that that is very significant. So here we are. Now, we have not to forget that a number of people who all the time walk away from the church can be drawn back into the church by whom? By us. They have to look at us. What kind of people are you? And I think that the people are very, very sensitive. And I've discovered that on board of the ship, they're terribly sensitive to who you are and what you say and how you behave. And that's why I think we have to, you know, come up all the time with that message. I will not forget years ago, that was very many years ago, there was a couple, young couple, and they said, we don't come to immigrate to the country, so don't bother us with anything like that. We just come to visit the country. I said, then in that case, let me give you a Bible, so you have some direction. We don't need a Bible, my dear sir, that's just an extra weight. I said, so what? I mean, you're strong and you're young, so you can have some bit of extra weight. And, well, we're just going through the United States and Canada and visit everything. And we are not Christians, and so don't try and plague us with all the Christian messages that you may have. I said, I'm not plaguing you with anything. Well, you said you're going all through the United States and Canada? Yeah. Yeah. I said, then I give you not only a Bible, but I'll also give you a yearbook. So they have a Bible, and they had a yearbook. And I said, you go to any church that you find in the yearbook, and you say, we met Reverend Uitenbosch, and he would love to have you be inspired by the fact that we come to your place and have dinner with you. And they said, oh, you're kidding. They did, and they went by the yearbook, and they came to an acknowledgement of Jesus Christ. And today they are worshiping in the church, and they are Sunday school teachers. Now, who did that now? Nobody, the yearbook. Imagine that I write a letter to the banner and say, the yearbook, ladies and gentlemen, is a good thing. Yes, the yearbook is an instrument also in this whole ceremony. That is a very significant thing, basically because of the fact that God says, don't worry about it. You use the Bible, I can use my book. I wrote a book about the seafaring people. You can use that book. And you can use the yearbook. They all will come to me. And I am seeking them, and you are as the ambassadors proclaiming my name to them. So I'm very happy that I could be with you here today. I would like to just simply give you just one note, and then we're all done. It's an interesting fellow. He came to the Seafarer Center at that one time, and he was a man from the casino. And he had made a telephone call to his wife. And I'll read you the last page. It's in my book. And this is what the man said to me after I'd shown him the chapel. And I said, this is the chapel. What do you think of it? Nice. Yeah, sure. A couple of other things. And then he said, now, I said to him, seeing that we are here in the place where you can say prayers, why don't I just step up and say a prayer for you? Well, it'll be okay. And he didn't answer. He simply said, nothing. And I said, well, I'll just kneel here. And so I knelt down in front of him there. And then he said, shall I kneel here? I said, you can kneel anywhere you want to. Good. Then afterwards, he said, I am the manager of the casino on board. I do not belong to any church. I just came in to telephone my wife. And then you invited me to come upstairs, and now you prayed for me. that floors me. You don't know anything about my life. You don't even know my name. But you are the first person in my life who gives a about my soul. That's incredible. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. No one has ever anything done like that. I reflected that fundamentally this is the cry of so many people on board, and I'm sure about on land as well. It may not be expressed in ecclesiastical language, but I somehow hear the heart of the people when they make the cry and say, is there a word of the Lord for me? And we have the answer as the Church of Christ. There is a word of the Lord for you. Let us pray. Thank you, Father in heaven. Unbelievable. You're willing to listen to us all. That's an incredible thing. And there are so many situations in life where we see that you go and come forward with your love and with your continued sympathy. And we pray that you will be with each and every one, particularly all those who are drifting out of the orbit of the Christian Church. We know that there are many, many of them who have done that. Call them back because they are yours and they are the people to whom your love goes out as well. Now watch over each and every one of us and help us to be good ambassadors without any fear of embarrassment, but that we stand firmly in the grace of the Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.